Parag Lamed Hei, Pasuk Aleph. Vayoyimer Kim El Yaakov, Kum Alei Beis El, go up to Beis El, Veshev Sham. Asay Sham, Mizbeach, Lakel, Hanirei Lecho. Make Mizbeach there. What are these two words, Veshev Sham? Go up there and be there. Of course, if you go up there, you're there. So Soprano explains that is telling us a yesod which very few people actually are mekayim. And that is, we rush into everything. We come to davening, we rush in. You come to shir, you rush into it. Before you start something, you've got to first think, prepare a little bit. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling him, in life, you have things to do, you don't rush into them. V'shev sham, l'chavan datcha, koidim shetivne. Calm yourself, think, have kavana before you build. And perhaps, he writes then, the Gemara in Brachos, and perhaps this is the Makor for it, Chassidim Rishonim, they would wait an hour before they davened. They would prepare themselves for davening. And it's something we have to learn as well in life. If we want to take inspiration from something, if we want to feel something when we're doing mitzvahs, when we're davening, you have to prepare beforehand. Think a little bit, don't rush into it. Okay, what I'd like to talk about now is something which I've been thinking about for the last 24 hours. And I would ask you to discuss it, Shabbos, at the table, and see what you come up with, people's opinions in your family on this subject. After Shimon and Levi destroyed Shechem, Vayoyim Yaakov al Shimon ve Levi, Acharta Moisil Avisheni, Vayoyshiv Aretz. You've caused us trouble now among our neighbors. You've caused us to smell. A Knani, Vaprizi, Vanim Seimispa, all the neighbors, we're just a few, they're going to come now, Nesfola, they're going to gather, Vikuni, they're going to strike us, Nishmadati Aniobesi, they're going to annihilate my family. So Yaakov is complaining to them that you've caused us such trouble, and who knows what can happen because of it. So what do they answer back? Vayoimru, Hachasoinu, Yasis, Achisenu, should we let our sister be treated like a Zoino? Now, you have to remember that sometimes a Rebbe might say to a Taina about something, and you answer back something, what could I do? There's a teenage way of answering. It's true they were teenagers, they were 13 at the time. But if the Shifte Kar, Shimon Velevi answer back, the answer back has to have some substance to it. Yaakov comes to them with a Taina. What you've done is dangerous. You've put our whole family in danger of annihilation. And they say back, well, our sister's going to be a Zaina. What do they mean by it? You can't just answer back, we know why you did it. Yeah, that's why you did it. But how is that an answer to Yaakov's Taina? They've got to answer back something which is a reason why they did it, even though there's that risk of annihilation. So what is their answer back? Says the Aruch Haim HaKadosh, Tzorech Ladas, Ma Tshuvuzu Oysa Lemechus Yaakov. What answer is this to what Yaakov was worried about? Alash Modosu Ubeisoi, this family is going to be wiped out. His second pshat says, they were answering back, Adarabba. On the contrary, Yistaknu ben umois, there's more danger if we don't fight back. Because Shiyiru, when they see, Shebozu Echad, one lowlife, took Bas Yaakov, daughter of Yaakov, and did whatever he wanted. And they're going to think they can just start up with us anytime they want. We've got to act with the shtolts. We've got to show them, you start up with us, we're going to hit back. This is going to scare them away from us. You're saying if we act the way we did is going to cause us annihilation. It's the opposite. If we let them trample us, they'll keep causing us trouble. If we show them what we're going to do, then they won't start up with us anymore. They're saying it's the exact opposite of what you were saying. So in other words, they're saying over here two views, which these two views, I saw a similar idea, was discussed by the cabinet in Eretz Yisrael, 30 years ago, that by Entebbe, they just gave out the minutes of the Prime Minister's meeting, whether they should go and make the attack on Entebbe. So the Prime Minister, Rabin, said that we can't go. There's no way we're going to be able to save the hostages. Let's negotiate. And the Foreign Minister, Peres, today the President, said, no, if we negotiate with them, you know what that's going to cause? Today, the Americans don't negotiate with terrorists. The British don't negotiate. Why? Because Israel doesn't negotiate. If we negotiate, they'll all start negotiating. It's going to cause the whole thing to fall apart. We've got to show we fight back. Don't let them get away with it. Which seems to be, well, the similar machlokes to what we have over here. What's better to do? Is it to act with a low profile or to act with a stolz? And you can understand, that's a shine. It's going to come up many times, this. And I want to know, what's halacha l'maisa? What comes out of this machlokes? Who was right? So on one hand, I thought, if Yaakov said, yeah, of course Yaakov is in charge, he's right. But then I thought, they answered him back. He didn't reply back to them, your svara is wrong. So maybe it means, yeah, I understand you. Maybe he agreed with them. I was back and forth with it, which is the right one to do. Of course, many of you guys like to be stoltzy and think, yeah, of course, we've got to show him. But you have to know what is the right thing, halacha l'maisa. Then this morning I saw a pasuk, which maybe was a remez, I don't know, it says, a few pasukim later, Vayitzor they traveled, Vayichitas alekim ale orim. There was the fear of Hashem on the cities around them, and they didn't attack. So I was like, what's the pasuk telling us? If Shimon and Levi were right, of course they're not going to attack. It sounds like they would have attacked. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu made a special nays. There was Chitas alekim. Yaakov was right, it's dangerous, but Hashem made it that they didn't attack. It sounds like Yaakov was right from that pasuk, I was thinking. But again, it's something to discuss. And if you have anything interesting, come back on Sunday and let me know. The pasuk says, "VaYaakov nosa sukoiso." Yaakov came to Sukkos. VaYivan loy boyis, he built a house. But the mikneo for his cattle also Sukkos. He made barns. Al came therefore kara sheim hamokim Sukkos. He called the place Sukkos. What is this pasuk teaching us? He calls it called the place Sukkos. The Torah in Hilchos Rosh Chodesh writes something which needs a lot of explanation to it. He says, the Shalish Regalim are connected the Avos. Pesach is Avraham. Avraham said, Lushi Vasi Ugois, it was Pesach when the Malachim came. Shavuos is Yitzchak, because they blew the shofar of the Isle of Yitzchak by Matan Torah. And Sukkos is Yaakov. Why is Sukkos Yaakov? Because the Pasuk says, the Yaakov nosa sukoisa. Yaakov came to Sukkos. Now that sounds a little far-fetched. It has the words, he came to play Sukkos, so Yaakov has got to do with Sukkos. Was that Gzeri Shava, Sukkos, Sukkos? Same word. How does that work? What's Yaakov got to do with Sukkos? Because he came to play Sukkos. So Matisyo in his Sefer Matnas Chaim and Moyadim, he explains it. We see in this week's parasha that the Malach came to attack, Sar Shel Esav came to attack Yaakov when he went back for the Pachim Ketanim. Yaakov lived 147 years. That night was the time he attacked. Obviously, that must have been the opportune, the perfect time to attack. He didn't attack any other time. Why Dafka that moment? Also, we see when Yaakov went back for the Pachim Ketanim, it says that Chazal tell us, Tzadikim, Chaviv Malei Memoinom, Yoisim Megufom. They love their money more than their guf. She'ein poishtim yudeim begezel, because they don't steal. And of course, that also sounds a little strange that tzaddikim love their money more than their guf. Why do they love money so much? So, we have to understand, let's start with why they love money. Moshe Lamar Dovidoyim. There was a person who was poor. He was so poor, he didn't even own a bowl to put in a cup and Nagelwasser next to his bed. He wanted to wash Nagelwasser next to his bed. He didn't own a bowl. And he was crying when he went to sleep. And he dreamt that the Rebbeinu Shlom had Rachmanis on him and gave him a bowl with a cup in it. He wakes up next morning. There's a bowl there and a cup of water. He is so elated. Imagine it. The Rebbeinu Shlom gave it to him. And he washes Nagelwasser. And he used this bowl every night. Eventually, this man made money. And he moves to a fancy house. Beautiful furniture, and he tells the workers when they bring his stuff over, make sure you bring everything. Afterwards, he checks, and there's missing the bowl, the Nagelwasser bowl. He panics. He sends them back searching. He can't find. He goes back, and after hours of searching, he finds the bowl. He's so excited, and they look at him, a rich man, and this bowl is excited about this little earthenware bowl. So what's going on? He said, this bowl, you know how special it is? The Ribbono Shel Olam gave me this bowl directly to me. So it's very chashuv to him. Tzadikim, they look at money they have. is direct from the Rabbeinu Shlom. It was given to you for a purpose, for avodah sabayra. Special to you, every penny, there's a reason for it. There's no extras there. It doesn't say chaviv malem mamoy, they love money. It says chaviv malem mamoynom, their money. Their money means the ones that Rabbeinu Shlom gave them directly to them. Why? Because they don't steal. If they stole, obviously, then it's not from the Rabbeinu Shlom. But when you don't steal, everything you do honestly, it means the Rabbeinu Shlom makes sure you get exactly what you're supposed to get. And they love the money very much because of that. It's a gift from the Rabbeinu Shlom. Yaakov and Esav, they met up in their mother's womb. They had a power lunch together. A business deal, a business lunch. And Yaakov says to Esav, there's two of us and there's two worlds. Olam Hazeh has in it, there's food, drink, business, children, wives, internet. There's a lot there in this world. Olam Haba, none of that. So choose, which one do you want? And Esav thinks, you don't have to think too long, I'll take Olam Hazeh. So Yaakov says, okay, I'll take Olam Haba. No problem. They meet up a few years later. Esav's after Yaakov. And now when they meet up, in this week's parasha, Vayis Einov, Esav lifts up his eyes. Vayar, he sees as Hanoshim, as Teilodim. He sees he's got a multimillionaire with his money. Mi'elelach, excuse me, we made a deal. I see a beautiful Emazer. So he says to him, no, Hayelodim Shechon Alekim Esavdecho. This is not Emazer, this is Olam Haba. These are all Kalim I use in order to get my Olam Haba. It's not for Emazer whatsoever. So Esav had to accept it. Afterwards, Yaakov goes back for Pachim Ketanim. Pachim Ketanim, he's going back for money. The Tsar of Esav sees he's going back for money. Gotcha. You're going back for money. That means you're breaking the deal. Now is the time I can attack. And he goes into attack. Yaakov fights him. What does it mean he fights him? He proves everything he does is Hashem Shemayim. All his gashmias is Hashem Shemayim. But he touches Kaf Yerechai. What does Kaf Yerechai mean? It means the people are going to come out from his thigh, his children. Yes, Yaakov wasn't after money, but there's going to be generations where money is going to be very important to them and causes Yaakov to limp. There's a weakness in Yaakov that's going to come out the later generations. So after this battle, Yaakov realizes what's going to happen with the later generations. So he says he has to give a lesson for them. So the Yaakov Nosa Sukkosa, he comes to Sukkos. Vayivan Lebois, he builds a house. Says the Targum Yonason, of Nole Bay Medrasha. He builds a Beis Medrash. Bias, he built a bias means he built a kvar, something permanent, a Beis Medrash. Ulamikneu for his possessions, also Sukkos. He made temporary dwelling places. For him, his family, all the possessions, that was huts, temporary. But Beis Medrash is kvar. This world is temporary. The Beis Medrash, that's kvar. Our lives, our time in this world is a temporary time. We're just passing through. So he wanted to teach this lesson to his children. Don't go after the money here temporarily. So he called the place Sukkos. What is the lesson of the Yontav of Sukkos? The Yontav is, we leave our houses. We go in Diras Arai to recognize this world is a Diras Arai. The same lesson that Yaakov taught us. That is the lesson of Sukkos. It's a 7-day Yontav to represent the 70 years of a person's life. You're here for a temporary stay. But a person doesn't get that. The Pasuk tells us in Kisetze, if somebody has false weights and false measures, the next Pasuk after that is, Zocher Asher Oso Lecha Amalek. And says Rashi, what's the Smichas of Parashas? Why are they next to each other? Because when a person has false weights and measures, he's going after the money, right away, Amalek comes to attack. Amalek comes from Esav. He has the right to attack then. We're breaking our part of the bargain. This place Sukkos, when you look in Tanakh, what happened to it? It was so appropriate where it landed up. Moshe says to God, they want to go over the Yarden. Why do they want to go over the Yarden, they say? Because we have a lot of Mikne cattle. And they mention the word cattle before their children. And Moshe rebukes them because they mention their cattle before their children. They're too much interested in the money. They're worried about their money. So they play Sukkos. You look and say for Yeshua. And you see there, Sukkos was in the Chelik of God over the Yarden. They should realize, you have to keep in perspective. Yes, if the money's for avodah zarah is no problem. But remember, this world is a temporary world. Okay, when the Malach fought with Yaakov, so in the morning he says, I've got to go now. I've got an appointment. People always have appointments at strangest times in the middle of giving shir. You're in the middle of a Vega, and I've got an appointment, I have to leave now. Can't wait one more minute till it's finished. So he's in the middle of a fight. You would think, wait till the end of the fight. I've got to go now. Where's he going? He's got to say Shira. All my life I was waiting. This is my day to say Shira. Once in a lifetime opportunity. Like, come on. What a coincidence. Of all the times, now he has to say Shira. What's the pshat? The pshat is that people make a mistake. And they teach you in kindergarten that you have, there's the Yetzer Tov, there's the good guy, and the Yetzer Hara, there's the bad guy. The Satan is a Rasha, is a bad person. The Satan is a Malach. He has a job to do. And not only that, he does a pretty good job of it. He's pretty successful, you would think. So how can you say he's a bad guy? The Satan is doing his job. He's a Malach, doing Shlichas of the Rabbeinu Shleilam. So Pshat is like this. What is the job of the Satan? The Satan is a tzaddik. He has a good job. His job is to push you to the limit and that you should win. He wants you every time that you should win in the end. He wants to push you as far as he can, and every time you win. And when he does that, he was successful. He wants you to win. Nebuch is not successful. He wins every time. That's not very good. He's not looking to win. He's looking that he should push you, and you in the end defeat him. That night, Yaakov fought Sar Shel Esav, who was Satan. He fought with the Satan that night. It was a battle, obviously, a ruchniyistic battle. And in the end, Yaakov won the battle. It was such a battle that the Satan gave it everything he's got. And still Yaakov won. It's the first time that happened. That he went all the way and he still lost. He said, now I've reached my tachlis. This is the perfect time to say Shira. I was never able to say Shira like that. I accomplished my job par excellence. I went to the maximum and you won. Now I can say Shira. Forgot to mention that we said when Yaakov Nasa Sakoisa, he built a bias Pashup Shat in the Posuk, he built a house. And for his cattle he made Sukkos. Al Kain, therefore, he called the place Sukkos. Doesn't this sound all strange to you? He built himself a house, he built barns for his cattle, and he called the place barn. Why is he calling the place barn? And why do we need to know that? So the Rechaim HaKadosh says, because he made a barn for his animals. You call it that? He come to a place to make a dog kennel. So you call the count dog kennel? What's the pshat in it? Ulai, pshat is, ki osa dava chodosh. He came out with a new idea. A new idea in this world that had never been before. Bechem losai ala mikne. He had compassion on his animals. Mashloi osa kein odam koidem. Nobody ever did before him. He made barns for his animals. He was the first person to make barns for his animals. Everybody else, sleep, they're in the rain, they're in the cold. Big deal, it's my problem. They're not complaining. No animals ever say, excuse me, it's cold out here. So nobody worried about it. He thought about it. These animals, I have to have a korza toif to them. I get from them. He had a korza toif, and therefore he made a barn for them. He taught a lesson to the world here. First to take care of the animals, but a lesson that carries a toif. He was the first person to be market toif to animals. So he taught that lesson to people. And you see again in next week's parasha, he sends Yosef to find as Shloim Ochiv, to find out about how his brothers are doing, or Shloim Atzoi, check up on the sheep also. You also have to worry about the animals, not just yourself. Again, a lesson in a carries a toif. Shabbos.